Okay, so moving right along here in Simen Kuf Pei Zayin. One thing I wanted to backtrack. I was just, shalom, shalom. Okay, great. Now, one thing I wanted to backtrack. Does like someone like text these guys like he just finished attendance? Now you can actually come. Is that what? I just wanted to backtrack a little bit. We mentioned when we started Kuf Pei Zayin the basic hakira in terms of what Ro Adam Machmas Tashmish is, and the two sides of the chakira are: is it a choli or is it a veset? Right. So just to elaborate on that chakira a little bit. Because I saw that Rav Eliav Silberman has in his sefer that chakira, which of course he's going to have because he's very into chakiras, and that is the chakira of Simen Kuf Pei Zayin. It's really a three-sided chakira, right? Because it's, is it a choli, is it a vesed, or is it both? And the Chavos Das, as we pointed out, is one that says that it's both. Chavos Das has his 11 kashas, and he answers all of them by saying that it's both. So just to add a couple of marmakomos and a couple of nafkaminas to that discussion. The idea that that it is a veset is put forth and most strongly supported by the Nadbiyudin Madura Kamas in the Samchalif. That's the Nadbiyud that we saw about the case of Ra Machmas Tashmish, where it was already too late, right? Where the woman had already seen three times. And if you recall yesterday with Rabbi Sadlovsky, when someone asked if we ever have cases of Ra Machmas Tashmish, she said no, because we send them to a doctor and they find the Macha and they handle it. But in the case where they couldn't send them to a doctor and they didn't try to do anything, and they just waited till three times, and she was ready to Ra Machmas Tashmish. So the Nadbiyud built this whole kula based on the idea that it's a veset. The other possibility is that it's a choli, and that's certainly the implication of the Rambam. The Rambam, Yisir Bir, Perek Dalet Halacha Chaf Aleph, calls it a choli, and the Rambam in the 25th Perek of Hilchos Ishos uses a lashon of when she stops seeing Machmas Tashmish, he uses a lashon of refua. So that certainly implies that it's some sort of illness. And that's also the implication of the Gemara, because the Gemara tells the story of Rebbe when you had this woman that was Ra Machmas Tashmish. So Rebbe said, you have to go frighten her. When you frighten her, we'll solve the issue. So they frightened her, and a clump of dam came out of her body. And the Gemara says, Nisrapa. So she was Nisrapa. She was healed. She was cured. The implication is that it is a choli. The Aruch HaShulchan takes it as a davar pashut, that it's a choli. And even the placement in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch also suggests that it's not a veset, but something else other than a veset. Because the Rambam brings this halacha in Isur Bia Perek Dalid, but he brings vestos in Isur Bia Perek Ches. So the fact that he doesn't bring it together with the other vestos would seem to suggest that it's not a din in veset, if you're medayik from, in Rambam that way. And the Shulchan Aruch also. Shulchan Aruch has a simon about vestos. Simon Kuf Pei Tes is where he should have brought it if it were really a din in veset, but he doesn't bring it in Simon Kuf Pei Tes. He brings it here in Simon Kuf Pei Zayin. Now, nafkamina, whether it's a chali or a veset, so we mentioned a few already. We'll mention a few more, but just to gather them all together in one presentation, we'll mention six nafkaminas just very quickly before we move on to the discussing the bedika that a woman can do to make sure that she to undo her status as a Ra Machmas Tashmish. So first, we'll just quickly mention six nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is whether it's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. The Chalkas Mechokek in Evin Ezer Simen Kuf Yotes says that it's d'oraisa, and the Aruch HaShulchan over here agrees that it's d'oraisa. And the Aruch HaShulchan explains that's therefore that the Aruch HaShulchan Shitaso, because the Aruch HaShulchan says it's not a din in veset. If it were a din in veset, it would only be d'rabbanan, because we're going to have a big discussion whether vessels are d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. But this kind of veset would for sure be d'rabbanan. So if it were a veset, it would only be d'rabbanan. But if it's a choli that you have to be choshish that she's going to have every single time, so then that would be a din midoraisa. So that's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina is how to explain the Gemara Nidat of Samach Vavam and Aleph, when the Gemara says that an isha sheyesh la veset is not asura when she's Ra Machmas Tashmish. What does that mean? An isha sheyesh la veset is not asura when she's Ra Machmas Tashmish. So there are basically three shitos in Rishonim in how to read that Gemara. What is the Gemara telling me that if a woman has a veset, she's not a surah because of Ra Machmas Tashmish? So Rashi says that it means that if she sees Machmas Tashmish, but only on a particular date. So she sees Machmas Tashmish, but only when she has Tashmish on Rosh Chodesh. So then we attribute it to the date more than to the Tashmish. What exactly Rashi means is up for debate a little bit, but something like that. When it's not that every time she has Tashmish, every time she has Tashmish on that date, so then we attribute it to the date and not to the Tashmish. The Rambam, however, in Perek Daled of Yisur Biyah Halacha Chaf, says that Re'iya Machmas Tashmish that happens around the time where she expects to see Dam, around the time of her Veset, doesn't count toward the three times that it takes to be muchzuk as a Ra'a Machmas Tashmish, because you could attribute it to, yeah, she had to get her period sometime, and now is as good a time as any, because she's expecting to get her period around now anyway. So if she gets her period after having Tashmish around the time of her Veset, don't attribute that to Ra'a Machmas Tashmish. The Rambam learns the Gemara is telling us that's just dumb. She had to get her period, so she ended up getting her period at the when she had the Bia, but it wasn't attributable to the Bia. And that's the Rambam's learning. The Mordechai in Shavuos Os Tav Shin Lamed He says a third understanding, that if a woman has a Veset Kavua, then she cannot become Asura as a Ra'a Machmas Tashmish, because we're automatically going to assume it's Dam Maka. Meaning any time she has a Veset Kavua, so we know what her body normally produces and the schedule normally produces Dam on, and therefore Dam that happens, Machmas Tashmish, must be Dam Maka and not Dam Nida. So this, how you explain that Gemara may depend on our Chakira, because the Mordechai must understand that it relates to Vestos. So if she has a Veset Kavua, she can't become Asura based on Ra'a Machmas Tashmish. If it were about an illness, having a Veset Kavua would not prevent her illness from expressing itself. But if it's a Din Veset, and you know she has a Veset Kavua, so the Veset Kavua is going to be dominant and not this, not Ra'a Machmas Tashmish, which is a weird kind of Veset. You'll go with the real Veset Kavua. Whereas if it were a Din Choli, they're not a contradiction. Right? If it were a Din Choli, you wouldn't say that Ra'a Machmas Tashmish falls away because of a Veset Kavua. So the Mordechai makes sense if you assume that it's not a din vested, that it's din choli. The Rambam understands that it relates. The Mordechai understands that it relates to vestos, not that it's a choli. The Rambam must understand that it relates to a choli, and therefore he doesn't connect it to having a vested kavua. And instead, he's dochek in the Gemara and says, no, it's not about a vested kavua. It means that if she sees dam around the time that she expects to get her period anyway, nothing to do with vestos. That's all the Gemara meant. That it's attributable to something else. So the Rambam must understand that it relates to a choli and not to a veset. And that's why he had to be dochek himself. That's a second nafkamina. So again, nafkamina number one is the Torah Eset Rabbanan. Nafkamina number two, how do you teach that Gemara in Nidah Samach Vav, Isha Sheish Leveses is not a surah as a Ra'a Machmas Tashmish? Nafkamina number three, Nadav Yehuda's case. Right, Nadav Yehuda's case, where Nadav Yehuda said if she establishes a new Veset Kavua, then she's no longer considered to be a Ra'a Machmas Tashmish. That only works if you assume that Ra'a Machmas Tashmish is a Veset. If it's a Machla, if it's some type of illness, establishing a Veset Kavua doesn't cure you of all your illnesses. Nadav Yehuda actually, in that tshuva, makes four assumptions, and each one of those assumptions is somewhat questionable, right? He assumes that the Ra'a Machmas Tashmish is din Veset, right? That's certainly questionable. He assumes that Veset is not a Veset, that if it is a Veset, it's not a Veset Gemura, it's more like a Veset L'kfitzos, which we'll have to see what that means when we learn Vestos. He assumes that when you have such a weak Veset, it becomes totally uprooted by developing a stronger Veset, which we'll have to see how obvious that is when we do Vestos. And he assumes that the Veset is still weak, even though it happened three times, and it could still be removed by another Veset Kavua. So every one of his assumptions can be questioned, but the Nadav Yehuda's understanding that a Veset Kavua makes a Ra'a Machmas Tashmish go away is only because he holds Ra'a Machmas Tashmish as a Veset. If he held that it was a Choli, there's no reason that a Veset Kavua should make it go away.
Based on a maka, wouldn't we say similar to the kesem? Like, why should every maka by kesem say, oh, it's a maka?
Say again, the what? According to the Mordechai.
If we're so sure that if she's the best of Kavua, it's not based on anything else, it's based on the Makir, why don't we apply the same support to that Kesa?
What do you mean?
Why should we have to be worried if it's not Mishas Vesa?
But Kesem comes from nowhere. There was an aggravation to the area, so if there's a Makkah there, it could be that every time she has Tashmish, that it aggravates the Makkah. I mean, it's a more likely scenario, right? Like Bedika would sometimes open a wound or things like that. So I would assume that's the difference. A fourth Nafkamina is during pregnancy. Nedviyudan Madurakami Yordesim Mem Gimel holds that there's no din of Roa Machmas Tashmish during pregnancy. So if, in this case, let's say she became pregnant on the third time of Roa Machmas Tashmish. Meaning she had Tashmish two times, saw Adam, then the third time she had Tashmish, saw Adam again, but then she took a pregnancy test and she became pregnant from that one. So do they have to get divorced? So they just bought themselves 9 months. Right? Now they you don't have to worry about Roa Machmas Tashmish during pregnancy. The Pisri Chuvin, Sivkat Nehei, brings achronim that say that no, it does apply during pregnancy. Could be the nekudas hamachlokas is whether it's a din in veset. Vestos sees during pregnancy. They stop applying during pregnancy because we don't assume a woman is going to be on a regular cycle during pregnancy. We'll see. It's not that pasha. At least once it's hukar ubra, vestos stop during pregnancy. Whereas an illness, we have no reason to assume goes away during pregnancy. A fifth nafkamina is how many times does she need to do the bedika bishvoferes to verify that she's not roa machmas tashmish? The Gemara never says how many times. The Gemara just says how to do the bedika, right? To take this tube and stick it in, and then put a stick inside the tube with a moch at the end, right? But the Gemara never tells you how many times you need to do that bedika. So if the yisur is based on a machla, you probably only need to do once to see that the illness has been healed, that it's been cured. If, however, it's based on a veset, so typically if you have a veset kavua, to undo a veset kavua takes 3 times. 1 time of not having the veset is not going to be good enough. It implies 1 time, right. That's the implication. We'll get to the bedika in a second in the details. Yeah, that's the implication. No, the Yehuda really said only once, right? But let's put this nafkamina differently. You would need to explain why you'd get away with only 1 time if it's a vesed, right? That it's a subpar kind of vesed, right? Is that what you're saying? That fits. Meaning you would need to explain why that's the case, though. Meaning if it's a vesed. Right, so that's what I'm saying. That the sub, you know, that it's a, okay. Now, a sixth nafkamina, the poskim we discussed the other day, the poskim will ask why she's ne'emenes to say that she's Ramach Nastashmish. Why don't we apply the Gemara Nedarm Datsadi, which says that we're Choshe Sheme Eineha Nosna Ba'achir, that maybe she was, she just got interested in somebody else. So if it's a din veset, then this is a regular Hilchos Nida issue, and she's ne'emenes based on the suffrage, just like she's everything else in Hilchos Nida. But if it's based on an illness, then there's room for such a question of why she should be ne'emenes. It's interesting, the Aruch HaShulchan holds it's about illness, but that her ne'emenes still comes from the suffrage. So it's not, it doesn't work out. I mean, it's a logical nafkamina, but it doesn't necessarily work out. Like all these nafkamina, it doesn't necessarily work out that everyone is along party lines, right? The Aruch HaShulchan was one of the big believers in the fact that it's a choli and not a veset, and yet he still says her ne'emanus comes from v'safrala, even though choli would seem to be outside of the regular purview of Hilchos Nida. Okay, so that's I just wanted to just sort of put that all in one place, the basic chakira with all the potential nafkaminas. Now let's discuss the bedika, the issues that relate to the bedika. So first of all, how far does the bedika have to go? How deeply does she need to insert this tube for the bedika? So the Beis Yosef writes, "V'rabenu lo bi'arad heichan machneses machol zeh," that the Torah never tells you. Aval haram zalbir shchas perik dalar alachav beis zelashono. The Rambam does tell you, and he says, "Machneses ha'shoferes ad makom sheyicholah." As far as she can, And then she takes a stick with a piece of cotton at the end of it and sticks it in. And she has to stick it all the way through till she gets to the tzavar harechem. And says the Beis Yosef, and it's very mistaver. Meaning, if she's Ra'a Machmas Tashmish, what's going to verify that she's not guaranteed to be Ra'a Machmas Tashmish in the future is something that mimics Tashmish. So certainly it has to go as far as the Aver would normally go during Tashmish. The Ikal Meimer Shemaisa Machnisas Ad Makom Shashamish Dash Hayinim Tzadam Al Rosho. Right, meaning if we have to be able to say that if you that meaning if she would only stick it in part of the way and not as far as the Aver would go, the fact that there's no dam on it wouldn't prove anything, because you would always be able to say, yeah, but had she actually done something that would mimic Tashmish, then there would be dam on it. So it only works if she sticks it in all the way. So if you look in Shach, in Sif Katan Yod, the Shach sort of walks that back a little bit, right? The Shulchan Aruch says this, as you'd expect, you know, after that presentation of the Beis Yosef, and he says, Machnesa, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Beis, Machnesa so so ba'oso makom ad makom shasham shdash, says the Shach, Kosev b'shuvas masos bin Yamin, Sham she'in tzrich lachnas ha-shoshveres ima makol v'amoch rak ad makom shi'yichola u'mesha'eres ba'atzma l'fi omedaita she'igia ad makom shasham shdash. She doesn't have to know for sure that she got it all the way. Whatever is, you know, she's able to do. V'isha ba'atzma ne'menes al zeh, and she has ne'menes on this. Ve'in tzricha klal lidchok ha-shoshveres l'makom tzar v'dachuk. She certainly doesn't have to push it to a point where it's going to be exceedingly uncomfortable. Ve'in lanu lachu shem lo uchnisa kashir disha t'lunit natar l'malachei asharis. And she doesn't have to stick it in as far as, you know, she would be certain is the shir disha, because l'nit tar l'malachei asharis. So she does her best and trust the process that would probably be enough. Do you know for sure? You don't have to know for sure. You know, with reasonable effort, she has to do the bedika. So that's as far as that is concerned about how the bedika is done. That it should be done according to the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rambam, as far as Tashmish goes. Says the Shach, as far as Tashmish goes, but you know, you do your best. Yeah.
We say that every Tashmish is different and every Aver is different. How is this?
So every Aver is different, seemingly relates more to the width than the length. The assumption is that there is a place that we call Ad Makom Shashamashash, meaning there is a point inside the woman's body where we assume that's as far as she's penetrated and not beyond that. You know, it's relevant in terms of when we discussed where does Beis HaStarim end and Balua begin, right? So there is such a spot in a woman's body, and it's not measured by the husband. It's measured by her. So, yeah, that's what it seems. Other questions? Someone else had? No? Okay. Now, does the bedika work for the first husband also? Meaning, let's say, what's going to happen? A woman gets married. Her parents just spent, I don't know, $100,000 on a wedding. And they, you know, a month after they get married, 2 weeks after they get married, whatever, they had tashmish three times. She bled every time. Right, and not just Basula, let's say she wasn't a Basula before or whatever, so she was not assuming anything, she was a horseback rider or something, right, so she was not a Basula, the doctor told her, you're not a Basula beforehand when she went for her examination, and it's 2 weeks later, they had Tashmish three times, every time she got her period, every time she started gushing blood, each time. So she comes to the rabbi and she says, I keep getting my period every time I bleed. So the rabbi says, don't worry about it. You're not Naguna yet. You could just get rid of this guy and you'll find another husband. And she's like, what do you mean? I mean, my parents just spent $100,000 on the wedding. I kind of like this guy. another husband's not, you know, is there any way I could stay with this husband? Right? Meaning that's probably the first question the woman would ask, right? Meaning you're not an aguna, it's no big deal. It feels like kind of a big deal, right? If you're making me get divorced, then find somebody else. So could she just say, well, I'm willing to try the bedika with, you know, and if it works so that I could stay with this husband. Would that be an acceptable thing to do? Would that even work? Would that even benefit her? So Rashi implies that it does not work, because when Rashi explains the Gemara's answer, Lefi she'en kol ha'tzvos shavos, and he says, v'sheva b'bal acher lo tztarich b'dika, that maybe with another husband she won't need a b'dika, umutav she'tisgarish v'titakein v'lo tavo lidei kares. So he says, we require divorce. We only are willing to be somech on bedika when the other option is igun. We are not willing to be somech on a bedika when the other option is anything but igun. So Tosfos in Dibur Maskel Tivdok and the Rush in Simon Gimel and Perek Yud are medayik from that Rashi that he would not allow staying with the first husband even with a bedika. However, most Rishonim say that kal v'chomer, that if it works after three husbands, meaning if a bedika is going to be enough for us to say, okay, you're good, you're fine now, you're not Roma Tashmish, after three different husbands and three Tashmishes with each husband that she was Roma Tashmish, kal v'chomer, a clean bedika is going to work after she only had experience with one husband. It for sure should work with just the first. So Beis Yosef writes that even Rashi agrees. He says, "Gam de Rashi efshalis parishkei," that it's possible to tie up Rashi that way. V'chein pasuk smak, v'chein pasuk harashba, da'akilu gaba, v'sharilu l'shedi below bedika afal pishuchzuka l'rishon. That it's a kula that she's allowed to marry a second husband without a bedika, but if she doesn't want a second husband, she wants to stay with the first husband, so she could do that with a bedika, and that's how Rov Rishonim learns. So if you look at the Mechaber in Siv Gimel, so the Mechaber writes, "Imrotza livdok atzma ba'oda tachas harishon achar shoshim shoshalosh pamim harishos biyada umateres lo." Yeah, she could do that if she wants umateres lo. We should rely on the first daya lahakel vim hirgisha tsar ukeiv b'shas tashmish lukuli alma yesh lismocha b'dika b'bal rishon. If there's any other indicating factor that this is really just damaka, such as the fact that she's feeling tsar, she's feeling a keiv, she's feeling some sort of pain, then for sure everyone would be makel. Now the shach and sifkat and yodalid gives two reasons not to do the b'dika with the first husband, right? If you look at the shach, v'yesh lismoch asfar rishon, that you can rely on the first daya, ulufiyah niyazdaiti nira, de'ein lahoros b'dika b'bala rishon. Shach says, it could be that we paskin that it works, don't go rushing to suggest it. Number one, da'ar Rambam v'Rashi osrim. You have to remember that the Rambam and Rashi said it's no good. I and Beis Yosef said you could kvetch into Rashi that really doesn't answer. Yeah, that's if you kvetch. But if you just read Rashi, it's aser, right? So the Rambam and Rashi aser. Ubisifrika safti debahach yesh liyashi mashenichu atosos betema. Avli in name of the mani bedika bebalarisho nirshaliyashi. And he says, and I think you could even read into Tosos that it has to be that way. Visu dar haravid varamban osum bedika bezmanazah. He said, and the other thing is that Bismanazah is not so clear Badika works. So since you have a day in Rishonim, and it may be a bigger day than people think it is in Rishonim, that holds that it's Asr, and you have some Rishonim that say that we don't even know how to do these Badikos anymore, so the Badika is not going to work. So you shouldn't go running to rely on a bedika with the Baal Rishon, says the Shach, even though the impression you get from the Mechaber and the Ramah is that you can be Mekil. So Pischei Tshuva is Mekil. Pischei Tshuva writes, Pischei Tshuva is Mekil over here. If you look in Oschaf,
Rosh,
ktsas lahachmir b'zeh. All these gedolei achronim, these gedolei aposkim, all attack the shach that he's trying to be machmir about such a thing. You know, Pesach Tshuva quotes B'Samim Rosh all the time, right? Even though B'Samim Rosh is obviously a questionable source, but he's not only relying on B'Samim Rosh; he's relying on all the other Gedolei Achronim. So, in the end of the day, it seems Mechaber, Ramah, Pesach Tshuva are Meikil, and that seems to be the sheet of Rav Rishonim. So, despite the Shach Schumra, the Chorin is to be Meikil. Again, not that it ever happens, and not that we've ever done such a Bedika. Now, why does the Bedika work at all? L'chora, one could ask the question that this Bedika shouldn't work because, after all, Ein Kol Etzpo Shavos, meaning she had Tashmish with her husband 3 times, and that produced Dam. She had Tashmish with her husband 3 times, and it produced Dam. So, even though she's doing something that might mimic some sort of Tashmish, Mechitesi, that's going to mimic the Tashmish of the husband that she wants to be married to. So, how can we rely on such a bedika? So the Beis Yosef writes that we only say in kol etzpo shavos as a kula, not as a chumra, because rov nashim are not rov machmas tashmish. Meaning, what context do we say in kol etzpo shavos? Gevalt, she saw machmas tashmish 3 times. She's muchzak as machmas tashmish. Why is she allowed to marry another guy? Yeah, in kol etzpo shavos, you never know. So that's why she's allowed to marry another guy. But that's only used as a kula. It's quoted in the Taz and Sivkat and Vav, and the Taz adds the cost of Ramab Sivkut Pesayin Sivyun Dim Avra Balu Baal of the Isu Velo Rasa Adif Tfei Mi B'dika the Shofaris Mahani. That yours even better than a B'dika with Shofaris. If I mean not better, it's worse in a certain sense, but it's more effective. Is if they violated the halacha and they had Tashmish again, and this time she didn't see Dam. So a couple had Tashmish 3 times. She saw Dam 1, 2, 3, both all 3 times. Right away, she started gushing blood, and then they said, okay, we'll give it one more try before we ask a rabbi, right? And they give it one more try, nothing. So then they go, you know, probably we should have asked. So then they go and they say, we saw a Tanachas Tashmish 3 times. He says, oh no, that's no good, you need a bedika, or you need to get married to somebody else. So they say, well, you know, we had a 4th time also, nothing happened. Oh, okay, it's better than a bedika, because that's actual Tashmish. So that's what the Ramah writes. Now the Bach, in dealing with this issue of why the Bedika works at all, and we don't say in Kol Atzvah Shavos, the Bach writes that Svara is only if the Dam is Bamin Atzadim. But if the Dam in a Makar, then it would be the same no matter who it is. The Bach writes, Ufiyani is Daiti Nire, Dein Kam Kosha. He says, it's not Kasha. Ki ain't Perush, Masha Kotzah the Gemara in Kol Atzvah Shavos, Bein kolakochos shavos the etzbek shu'av or kshakov gadol who gorim shahamakor niftach al yado. We don't assume that just because different evarim, different men are a different size, or the act of tashmish is with a different level of force each time, that therefore means sometimes it's going to open the makor and sometimes it won't. V'yotze dami medu dopshitu demadam yotzer min hamakor de teva ishu hukach. He says it's a davar pashut. I don't know why it's a davar pashut, but he says it's a davar pashut that if having tashmish causes her uterus to open up, it doesn't matter who she has tashmish with, it's going to cause her uterus to open up. No matter the anatomy of the man, if tashmish causes her uterus to open up, it's going to cause her uterus to open up every time. Because it's about her own body, her own physical makeup, and it's not about him. Even if he's smaller anatomically, even if he was a very weak type of bia, what did the Gemara mean to say then when it says in kol etzpo shavos, in kol kochos shavos? We're concerned that she saw dam min atzadin when she had bia with the first guy. But when she marries the next guy, she's not going to see any dam min atzadin. And therefore, if you do a bedikas shvaveres and dam comes out on the tip of it, so then you know she's of that sug of isha that no matter who she has bia with, and no matter how much koach or how little koach there is in that bia, she's always going to bleed. And if you don't see dam on the top of the shofar, then you know that it was only minat stadim. Because if it was minat makor, every bia would make that happen. So the Bach says, you're wondering, how does this bedika help? The bedika is not necessarily the same as every aver that, you know, of every potential husband. He says, it doesn't have to be. Because every aver of any man on earth, in any maisabiyah, however that maisabiyah happens, if she's going to bleed from the makar, she'll always bleed from the makar. That Bach make any sense? What's the Bach saying over here? After the first husband, what's the concern? That if the dam is actually coming min amakar, it doesn't matter who she's with. It doesn't matter how many, you know, what husband she's going to be with. It doesn't matter what kind of, it's always going to come in a makar. There's no solving that. The whole reason we let her go with the second husband is because maybe it's only dam min atstadin. And if it's dam min atstadin, then what? She could just save the first husband. She's not a nida, right? I mean, what's the point? Just do the bedikas shofaris right away. And if it comes out on top, then what do you mean, machshil, guy number two and guy number three, unnecessarily? Meaning, if it always is going to happen with every husband, no matter what, how could you be machshil all these other guys? Just do the bedikas shofaris right away. Chavis Das and the Sujitar wonder about this, but like, why would marrying the second husband help if he's no different than the first husband as far as Dam and Amakar? If Dam and Amakar is the only real concern, and as far as Dam and Amakar, nothing's going to change between husband number one and husband number two, then what's the point? And the Bach himself acknowledges that Sefer Truma and the Smag interpret that local as well as Shavos, that she may not see Dam and Amakar with a different husband. But like, what's he even thinking? It's a very difficult path.
Isn't this similar to the sex sveiko? Because you say that the whole idea is that it's coming from the tzadim, so then you have that suffix, and then you also have the suffix of the fact that not all of the barim are the same.
So no, but it's the same.
Once you establish that it's coming from the makor.
Why is it a sex sveiko? Spell it out for me. Pretend like I'm an idiot. And spell out for me the sex vega. If it's coming from the tzadin, then...
So then that's a
tzadin. And then she's tahora. Yeah. And if it's coming min ha-makar...
But that's not the tzadin. The tzadin is whether it's coming from the makar or the tzadin.
Right.
And then the second tzadin...
But I'm saying, and if it comes min ha-makar, she's going to be tmei each time, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, it's going to be an issue.
If it comes min ha-tzadin, she's tahora each time, and it's not a problem. And even if... That's how every sex seconds work, right? And even if
all the A bar.
No, even if means you have A and you have B.
Yeah.
And even if A, then you still have C and D. So okay, so play it out for me. It could either come in at stadim or it comes in at makar. And even if, so the next words have to be it comes in at makar.
Well, then it should be asura. She's coming in at makar.
Right. That's why it's not a sex second. Right? Meaning there's no way to play it out as a sex second. It's not gonna work. So I'm not sure. I don't know what to do with that. With that Bach. Yeah.
According to the Beis Yosef, his svara is basically that women are not supposed to be able to go down. She literally is. She waited until her third time to sing blood. So like this case is a case of a woman who's in the second field.
Yeah, but even then, it's so rare that we'd rather attribute it to anything else.
No, we have the case where it's not.
Even though despite all the evidence, right? There are millions of other women that are evidence that this is such a rare thing. It's like if you go to a doctor with certain symptoms, there are some diseases that are so rare and so unusual that you might have all the symptoms, but they'll say, probably you just have a combination of three other things that are more common. You know, until there's no denying it, that, that you have some rare form of leprosy or something. I don't know. Yeah.
It seems like you could take the sheets out of the Bach and before Tashmish any married couple should just do this, and then if it comes out clean, so then everything afterwards, if they ever see Dom during Tashmish, it's always that maka, which would be crazy. That's essentially what the maka is
right,
saying.
That every single time she has Tashmish.
So do it once before you have Tashmish at all. It's like genetic screening. Just do it first.
Right, I mean, why even wait for the first husband? Just before she does any tashmish, she should do this bidika. And if it comes from an amakar, then every husband is going to save every husband, potentially the sakaris. And if it comes out, let's start then. Or it doesn't come in amakar, then you'll always be able to be told about that maka.
No, I can't say like, what developed or something? I don't know, maybe it's a choli or whatever.
The what?
What developed? She hasn't had a cow.
It's a choli that happens. It can come and get cured. Right, that's true. Right. Now, what if you don't see any blood of the shofaris? Right, the Gemara says if you see dam berosha, so then you know she's tameh. But if you see dam on the tzadim, so then on the tzad of the shofaris, then you know that it's dam maka because it's from the kosei arechem and it's not from the maka. So the Gemara says lo nimtza dam al rosho biyodua shvina tzadim uba. It doesn't say nimtza dam al tzadim. It says lo nimtza dam al rosho. Then it's biyodua that whatever dam has been there is minat tzadim uba. So it sounds like if you don't see at all, she's muteres. And it's clear that way in the Rambam in Perek Dal Lelachav Beis Bisurbiyot, and also the Shach in Sivkat Nir Aleph says this way as well. Right? The Shach writes, Mashma dimlo nimtza lamoch bein she nimtza b'sadi ashoferes bein shelo nimtza lav klal muteres. V'chein mashma b'divrei poskim v'chein kasu abach. Because if it were a problem, it would appear on the Rosh HaMakol. Why does this work? So the Chavos Das holds that the Bedika removes the Chashash Choli and only leaves the Chashash Veset, which is only Midrabanan, so you can apply the principle of Sakti Rabbanan Lekula. I mean, the way the Chavos Das, remember the Chavos Das was one that holds that everything is a combination. That the whole Rosh HaMakol Tashmish is both. It's both a Choli and a Veset. So apparently this bedika takes care of the chashash choli, does not take care of the chashash veset. Why is that so? I don't remember. And he says that once it's only a chashash veset, then you could say safek drabanu lekula. This is one of his 11 kashas that he answers based on that. I'm just not remembering how that answers it, how that works. I gotta look that up. Yeah.
And she checks, doesn't find anything, and then have B again his blood, and you just attribute that every time to the stuff.
I guess that's what you'd have to do. Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's actually play that out now a little bit. Okay, let's assume like the shock. Lo nimtza klal works. She doesn't find any dam that it works, okay? There's still nafkaminas between whether she finds dam b'tzadim versus not finding dam at all. Meaning, when there's dam b'tzadim, you now have a clear explanation of where all this dam has been coming from. Right? Meaning, when she does this bedika, there's no dam at all, it's just weird. Now she's still confused. She has no explanation of where the dam has been coming from. She feels like she has no answers. When she does the bedika and there's dam b'tzadim, she has the answers. She knows exactly where the dam has been coming from. So the Nadvi Yehuda, according to Pesach Yeshuvah Sivkan Ches, says that if she checked b'yamei ibura and didn't find anything, then it's not going to be matter her, right? If she checked while she was pregnant, didn't find anything, it's not going to be matter her because she's mesulakas dam while she's pregnant. But if she found dam b'tzadim after doing a bedika b'yamei ibura, that would prove that there's a matter b'tzadim. So you can rely on that on a bedika b'yamei ibura if it produces dam b'tzadim. And that's clearly the shitasa, that it's all like a vesa shena kavua l'kvitzos and not like the Chavos Das and others that it's an illness, because if we're an illness, Ibura doesn't make an ounce of difference, right? That was one of our six nafkaminas. If she then sees Machmas Tashmish three more times, right, going to Dave's question, right, let's say she did the bedika and she doesn't see Dam Barosh, and then so she's like, okay, good, I can go back to my husband now. So she goes back to her husband, they have Tashmish three more times, and she sees Dam Machmas Tashmish three more times. See, if there was nothing on the bedika, Pischit Shuvah quotes a Nedvi Yehuda, that she becomes Asura again. She didn't have any answers yet. We still don't know where it's coming from. And we can't say, oh, it must be Dam Minat Tzadim. I don't know that. We never had any proof that there was Dam Minat Tzadim. It happens to be that the Chavos Das and the Divrei Chaim are both Mekel. That if she had seen, that if she didn't see anything, you could still assume Minas Tadim. But for sure, if she had seen Minas Tadim on the Bedika, then for sure she's okay, right? So that could be another Nafkamina. So again, we said if you find the Dam Barosh, that's Beferish in the Gemara, she's finished, right? There's nothing you can do for her. If you find the if you don't find the Barosh, so there are two possibilities. There's finding it Minas Tadim, and there's not finding it at all. So nafkamina is between finding it at sudden, not finding it at all. In either of those cases, where Mekel, she can go back to her husband, but nafkamina would be one nafkamina is if she did that bedika during pregnancy and she finds minat sudden, then it's good. If she doesn't find it at all, the bedika doesn't help. Another nafkamina is if she went back to her husband after not finding it at all and had dam achrasash three more times. There's a good argument to be made that she becomes asura again. Whereas if she found the minat sadin, she can have tashu with her husband as many times as she wants, seeing dam. Third nafkamina, if there was no blood in the bedikah, then the Yehuda, according to Pesach Chuba Sivkat Yudches, says that this will not be matira lebal harishon if there was no blood in the bedikah. But if there was dam, it will even be matira lebal harishon. Ooh, that's a big one, right? Meaning. She just had Tashmish three times with this guy and saw Dam every time. So she does something that mimics Tashmish and doesn't see Dam. What does that tell you? Well, maybe it tells you that she's capable of having a Tashmish without seeing Dam. But it doesn't tell you she's capable of having Tashmish with that husband without seeing Dam. And therefore she wouldn't be allowed to go back to that husband. But if when she does the Bedika, she finds dam, and it's minat sadim. So she knows exactly where all the dam has been coming from. It's a dam maka. Good, then she's even able to go back to the first husband. This is, of course, in the view of the shitasa, that the bedik v'shafaris doesn't help lebala rishon, because ain't kol etzbal shavos. But according to the Beis Yosef and the Taz, we never say ain't kol etzbal shavos as a chumra. Right? But those might be three potential nafkamina, in whether she doesn't find dam at all or whether she finds dam dafka min hatzadim. It's amazing how many no debiutas there are. No, and I remember when we were learning this, when I first learned the simon, I was reading through all these tshuvas of the no debiuta. It's like, how often the dam achmas tashmish happened? So I remember when we were learning Chassidus by Rav Willig, he spent one June's night. It used to be that, you know, learning Chassidus was something you sort of just figured out how to do on your own in Smicha, and you know, you just throw people out into the world and hope they know how to pass the Shaila. But we changed that a little bit. So Rabbi Willig did a June's man of Chassidus, 30 days straight, every day giving Shira in Chassidus, and I didn't understand a word of it, and I had learned Chassidus the whole year. I had spent the whole year learning Chassidus, and then June's man will get Rabbi Willig. I didn't understand any of it. It was so far above my head. But I remember Rabbi Willig said, Dam Achmas Tashmish, you don't even have to focus on it. It never happens. I said, how could you say it never happens? Nedviyuda had a half a dozen tshuvas about it. So he made fun of me. He said Nedviyuda, every shaila in the world went to the Nedviyuda. He was the posik of the entire world. So whenever he had a weird case that no local rabbi ever dealt with, they sent it to the Nedviyuda. So that's why the Nedviyuda he would be the only one that would have shailas about Dam Achmas Tashmish, because no normal rabbi will ever get a shaila about Dam Achmas Tashmish.
According to the Nedviyuda, if she does a bedika after the first husband and then doesn't find anything on it, does she never become an aguna, no matter how many husbands?
Interesting. Probably. Right? Probably. Probably. Although if you assume it's a choli, it could develop later, like Raziel said before, right? But the Yehuda doesn't assume it's a choli. He's very much on team Vesa, right? So, okay. Whether the Bedikah allows her to go back to the previous husband, Beis Yosef at the end of Siv Gimel quotes a Magen Mishnah who debates whether the Rambam holds that we only allow Bedikah when she's totally out of options, or we can always rely on it, like we said before. And we pointed out that the Shach is Machmir, and the Ramaz Mekel Shach is Machmir. In Shuvus Chsam Sofer, Yerodeusim Kof Pe'alif, he says that even Rashi only says Aser if it's at the beginning of marriage and they hadn't had Biyosh Shal Heter. But if they already had Biyosh Shal Heter, Tachos Baile Rishon, even Rashi would allow Bedika to go back to the first husband. So I should have mentioned that earlier, right? Meaning Chsam Sofer is interesting Kula. that even if you can be machmir like the Shach and like Shitas Rashi, that a bedikah is not matir to Baal Rishon, that's only if she never had a normal bia without dam with Baal Rishon. But if she had multiple bias without time with Baal Rishon, then they've been married for 10 years, and all of a sudden, one, two, three tashmishes in a row, she sees dam. So then even Rashi would be more than the bdika will be matir to Baal Rishon. Now, the real issue is, for us, is that if this ever were to come up, can we rely on the bdika b'zman hazeh? So we already alluded to it in the Shach, but let's see what the Rishonim and Poskim have to say. So the Torah writes, "Kasav arayvid de idna lo samchina nahach bedika latira." Nowadays we don't rely on it to be matter. Va'ol afilu miyosdu ashumin atstadin hare benos Yisrael gazru al kol roa tipastam kachardo shesrich hashiv nekiyim. Whoa! And not only that, even if the dam comes from that stadin, it's at least a tipastam kachardo, and she's going to require shiv nekiyim. She's going to be tameya every time. Says the Torah, "V'lo nihira la doni avi arajzal." The Torah says, my father, the Rush, totally disagrees with that. Why wouldn't we rely on this B'dikah B'zman HaZeh? And also, Minat Stadim, you're going to say, Tipas Tam Kechardel, Minat Stadim, you know what we call Minat Stadim? What do we call that? Damaka. That's not Tipas Tam Kechardel. Tipas Tam Kechardel means Tipas Tam and Amakar. It's Damaka. Beis Yosef points out that the Rif quotes this B'dikah. The comment about Tipas Tam Kechardel is very difficult to understand over here, right? The Rush in Parak Tinokas in Simon Gimel writes, "Lo yadati onu remuz a gzeira zu betalmud." Rabbi Zeir would amr us to the chmir al asam stam reir with the kamar al miyadua shabam and astadim, but zelo chmir al atam astam a makavin lan al mashan amot betalmud. The Rush asks this guy, he says, "What on earth are you talking about? That's when it's not tamaka. V'im adam chashuv meirom v'anvasnuso uprishuso, eino rotsa lismoch al atzmo lasos maisa yinog midas prishuso liatzmo. Aval lo nitan lichtov b'sefer lahoros po ledoros abayim ki matzino harbe b'talmud shachashu chacham l'takanos agunos." Meaning, says the Rush, Ravid, sir, you want to be such a tzaddik? You could be a tzaddik on your own cheshbon. But to write in a halacha sefer that other people are going to learn, that's going to be the doros, you're making akunos over here. V'kilu ma'od, kol shkin shalo yora adam lachmir midaito lo sheyavi rayos bruros min ha-talmud. He's not having any of it. So how do you explain the Ravid? The Ravid knew how to learn also, right? That's the yisod of the way we learn Torah. I think Rav Tversky once explained the Brisker methodology in learning. Is that Reb Chaim introduced us to the concept that the Ravid also knew how to learn, right? Meaning, it used to be that before that, it was like, if there's Machlokes Rav and Ravid, you have to figure out who's right. Reb Chaim introduced us to the concept that, no, they're both right. They're viewing things in different ways, right? So the Ravid also knew how to learn. So how do you explain the Ravid? Especially in light of the Rambam, about Dam Torah Shal Yoledes, where the Rambam writes, V'din zeh b'yemei ha-go'onim nischadesh, Veim gazur shliya shem dover tahor klal shezeh shechmiru al atzman bimei chachmei ha-gemara eino ela beroe dam shu tamei shir shavaz lov shem nekim avul dam shetir bimei tohar. The Rambam holds that even dam tohar after having a baby is not included in the chumrat of rizera of benos shel chmiru al atzman. So essentially the chumrat of rizera doesn't apply to dam tohar, and the Rambam doesn't say anything to argue over there. And now the Rebbe is gonna say, "Oh, but that Mako, we're gonna apply the Chumrat Rabbi Zeira." That sounds crazy. So if Soldatik points to a Rambam in Perikei Halachi Yud Beis, where the Rambam discusses how to examine the dam, and the Rambam writes, "In both gan dam al gabi matlus levana, that you need to be bodik dam on a white cloth, ubechama, and it needs to be in sunlight." Vositzel biyado al adam, and you shade the cloth with your hand a little bit. Vu omid bechamin, you stand in the sunlight. Kedei sheyireh eino kamo shehi, so that you could see it as is. And the Rebbe comments, kol ma shekasuv bezeh ein bo halach lemaisa. All that the Rambam says about how to look at a mara, which we'll get to in Kuf Peches, now scheduled for after Pesach. Everything that the Rambam says about how to look at a mara is not halach lemaisa. We don't have dam tar anymore. If it's dam, it's tame. nowadays. You know when you have to be so careful about how you look at a mirror in the right kind of light, the right kind of shade, and the right standing, the right positioning, this and that? That's when there are reds that are tahar and there are reds that are tameh. You need to distinguish between them. But nowadays, where every red is tameh, there's no need for that. So he seems to be saying that once the ga'onim were machmir not to be boel al dam tahar violedes, that we should assume that there's no difference between different shades of red. Because anything that's blood should require shiv nikiyim. So maybe the same is true over here. That if it's red, it requires shiv nikiyim. But the problem is, no, what's the problem? That works for dam tahar, because where does dam tahar come from? Dam tahar is regular dam nida. It's just about the timing that it's in the, you know, after having a baby girl, it's in day 14 to day 80 after having the baby girl. But dam minat stadim is what? It's dam maka. It's like getting a paper cut. So you can say, oh, a woman gets a paper cut. Oh, man, we have a vacation plan next week. What does that have to do with anything? It's mamish dam maka. So Salvation explains that the Ravid is just bringing a dimyon ba'alma. And he's saying that just like they asked all shades of blood, and during all times of her life, even during Yemei Tohar, and we don't distinguish between Yemei Nidus and Yemei Zivus, or between Yemei Tohar and Yemei Tumah, and we do that in order to prevent takalos and mistakes, it's reasonable to forbid being Tola Bimaka when it really looks like Dam Nida. That's all the Rebbe means to say. The Rebbe says, I'm not happy being Samech Lis Bedika. I'm not sure the Bedika is so foolproof. She's Roa Machasash 3 times, it looks like Nida, feels like Nida, and you're going to say, oh, because she also happened to have a scrape on the side of the vaginal wall, that means that all the Dam Nida she is pretty sure was actually Dam Nida is now going to be Dam Maka. No, we made a lot of safeguards around Hilchas Nida, and this is another one. So in Shulchan Aruch Tzav Beis, he quotes the Bedika, and Rama writes explicitly that it works. Right? Rama writes explicitly that V'af b'zman hazeh yesh l'smoch ha-bedika zav, that even nowadays we rely on this Bedika. If you look in the Torah Sashlom Simchon Ches and Pesach Yuvah Simchon Yivalev, they said the order of putting the Shofaris in first and then the Makhlel is very important for an effective Bedika. The Pesachei Tshuva, right? That makes a lot of sense. That it would be very important because you want, if you put in the machol before the shofaris, so then dam at the tip doesn't tell you anything because it could have gotten dam at the tip on its way up, right? The Pesachei Tshuva in Simchat Nidalet says that once the bedika is done, and by the way, that's important for gynecological exams. Right? I mean, not every time the gynecologist sticks something in and comes out with dam. Isn't necessarily a raya that it's dam nida, because the gynecologist does not stick in a shmoferis first and then a makhlo. So it's an important ha'ara. Pischei tshuva in Sefer Nidal says that once the bedika is done, you can't rely on refuos unless a clump of blood drops out of her. I mean, you can't rely on anything else anymore unless someone frightens her and you see something drastic change. And then the final thing, Pischei tshuva in Sefer Nidzayin discusses whether she needs shivanaki and if she bleeds machmas tashmish after the blood was found on the tzadim, meaning she may be allowed to stay with her husband, but does that mean she's not going to need shivanikim anymore? Meaning, is this really a taliya that you could be told of the makkah and assume that for sure it's that makkah? So it may depend on that whole discussion we just had with Rambam and the Raivid. That, the Raivid thinks that you can't rely on this bedika, so even when we did rely on the bedika, maybe we weren't really fully relying on the bedika. We were only relying on the bedika vis-a-vis not making her an aguna. But we weren't necessarily relying on the Bedika Nilchas Nida, that she still may be in Nida. So again, none of this is Lamaisa, so we're not going to, get so deep into it. I mean, any deeper than we already are into it. So Bez Shem, next up for us is to go through some of the kulas that the Gemara has and what we could derive from there. And then, I do want at some point to get in this sermon, to get into the sugya of believing doctors. A trusting doctor. So we still have time. We still have our work cut out for us. Okay, have a great day.